So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Hello, welcome to Trending with Timory. This is Stacy Trisankos, guest hosting for Timory, the new mom who's at home still enjoying her lovely new baby with her husband. So I'm filling in for her today and want to talk about a couple of things. So when I think of through my lens, what does it mean for something to be trending? I sort of matured watching the internet mature. And so I remember the days when there wasn't something called trending, but I'm always looking at, I look at, of course, what's trending on Twitter and Instagram and social media, but always through that lens of faith. I'm a mother, and I know a lot of you are parents as well. And it kind of changes you when you have kids to think about. You're not just thinking about what's trending. You're thinking about what's trending and how does that affect my family, my children, and the people that I love. So I want to comment on a couple of items today. One thing is this. So if you've ever heard me speak or read the things I've written, this is not my wheelhouse normally. When I talk about faith and science and chemistry, although I tend to put a chemistry spin on everything I talk about because it's just how my head works, it's not something I normally talk about in public, but I talk about it plenty in the kitchen drinking coffee every morning with my husband when we do that secret to our marriage, just show up for coffee every morning. And we think through all the things going on in our lives. I talk about this stuff plenty in the kitchen. So you are getting treated to another side, my mommy side. So I saw something this week, it was around after Christmas on December 30th, I think, about Hilaria Baldwin and Hillary, otherwise known as Hilaria. And I was shocked that there was so much drama going on about whether her name is Hillary or Hilaria, whether she was actually born in Spain or Boston, and whether her accent was fake or not. And it all started with a tweet from someone who basically called her fraudulent. And then there were repercussions and people were responding. And there was even a very long article in the New York Times about it. And it just got me thinking, like, why did this become such news? And I have some ideas about that, which I'll share with you shortly. The other things I want to talk about today, too, though, is this thing on Twitter. I mean, no, it's Instagram. Sorry, Instagram. It's called the 20-year transformation. And a lot of us regular people and a lot of celebrities are posting pictures side by side of themselves 20 years ago and now. So, you know, it's a fun thing to do. I wanted to talk about a few of those things and what, again, through our lens of faith, what are we really doing here when we talk about aging 20 years? Because it's certainly more than just starting to get wrinkles or gray hair or going from being a kid to being an adult. There's more to that. My own children have commented that they can tell a difference between people who've been raised as Christians and people who haven't, because you kind of just naturally get the idea of having goals, because your whole life is a goal to get to heaven, to be a saint, and to be united with Christ. And even those years when you may rebel or something, you still always have this overarching purpose in your life. And so it really does translate into an ability to set goals. And kids who grow up with that, my own kids have noticed that they don't really understand what we're doing here. We're just crawling around on planet Earth while the universe expands. And kind of scratch your head when you really think about it. Like, what are we doing alive being humans on this planet? So I think in the context of the 20-year transformation, that would be very interesting. The last thing is something that is the last part of the hour is something that you see a lot. I would say if you've got young kids, it's always trending. If you don't have children and you go to Mass, which you, I hope you all do, you see little kids in Mass. And so it's this perennial question for Catholics, for anyone who goes to church, about what do you do with the kids? And there was a great article in the National Catholic Register by a woman, Emma Follett, who is a graduate of Benedictine College and has started asking these questions. She was an intern at the National Catholic Register in 2018, and she's now a book editor. And so I was delighted to see her article in the Register this week, yesterday, actually. And I just want to talk a little bit about that. And y'all know, I have to share my wisdom. I feel like I've earned some wisdom here. Like, I have 7 children, and some of them are raised. Some of them are still being raised by my husband and I, who drink coffee every morning and talk about how we're going to survive the next day. We're still thinking very hard about that. But I do also think I'm a little bit getting past the other, like, we went through those years when there was a lot of chaos with the children in Mass, and I know totally what it's like to say, why did I even get dressed up and come here so I can wrestle with toddlers and be humiliated when they do things they shouldn't do? You know, you have that feeling, and then you feel guilty for having that feeling, and then you feel terrible for all of that stuff. I've gotten through it, and I do want to add to this article with some excellent advice. I want to give a big thumbs up to the advice there. I also want to reassure anyone who's going through that time of life that it's worth it, man. It's so, so worth it. And I'm going to tell you what I wish somebody had told me when my kids were little and I was near tears every single Sunday. There were plenty of women who would say to me, I remember when my kids were that small, you should really, really enjoy it. And I remember thinking, no, I'm kind of looking forward to being like you when I'm just sitting here by myself in Mass without all this chaos. I remember thinking that. Well, I'm kind of in the middle of that now, and I can see both sides. Getting back to this idea of life being a journey, a trajectory, a goal to get to heaven, I do think once you've been doing it enough years, you can start to look back and say, I get what all that was about now. So if I can provide any wisdom from down the road, I hope that I can. Aristotle said you are wise when you get to be in your 50s. So hopefully I've achieved some of that, share some of that with you. Back to Hilaria. So I'm supposed to be able to have a Spanish accent, but unfortunately, I have a Texas accent. Back to Hilaria and what happened. I'm going to play a clip in just a minute, but first, just want to give you the gist of this. I'm taking it from the New York Times article. It started with this tweet. Now, the Twitter account of the person who posted this tweet is no longer visible. So this person must have gotten so much, I don't know why, but the account is now not visible. So when you click a link to go see the tweet, you actually can't see anything there. But the New York Times copied the tweet. And this person said she called it a decade-long grift where she, meaning Hilaria, impersonates a Spanish person. So she basically, you know, a grift is a fraudulent scheme. She basically accused Hilaria of lying about being Spanish, about impersonating a Spanish person. So this Twitter account went on to post, it was a female, went on to post other things about this woman. If you don't know who this is, Hilaria Baldwin is the wife of Alec Baldwin. She's 36 years old. And she has a very popular Instagram account where she posts lots of things about, so she's a fitness person. She posts a lot of things about fitness and about raising her kids. And I would say, if I'm just being objective, I'm not going to be judgy, I'm just being objective here, She posts a lot of things that probably make some people like, why did you have to post yourself doing exercises in the bathroom in a bikini, you know, like with five little babies? I definitely think from what I know about women, that might inspire some jealousy, but it also might inspire like, why are you doing that? Like, why do you have to do that? Like, why can't you wear that when you're doing exercises on Instagram? Wear the pants like the rest of us do. So I think it probably pricked some people's consciences, or not there, but on her behalf, maybe made some people uncomfortable. So she has this fame by being married to her husband, Alec Baldwin, and her very successful Instagram account. And the reports said that this Twitter lady that said she's a grifter, that she's making this all up, she's impersonating being a Spanish person, said that she went back through all the media and found contradictory messages, times when Hilaria was called Hillary, but it seemed like she changed her name to something more famous sounding, Hilaria, to be on, you know, when she started becoming famous, that there were several interviews where she said she had trouble speaking English. She couldn't remember the English word for cucumber. I don't know the Spanish word for it, so whatever that was, she couldn't remember the English word for it. And where on a biography that she has with an agency, it claims that she was born in Spain. And so the Twitter person kept posting a bunch of follow-up tweets showing that she doesn't think that's true, that it doesn't seem true, and that Hilaria wasn't telling the truth about her identity. And it became this big issue about identity. Well, of course, Hilaria had to respond to that, because you would. I mean, I try to think about it, like, what if that were, like, what if somebody just came out and started saying, Stacey Trosenkos is not really who she says she is. She says she was born in Texas, but she was really born in one of those other places she lived, like Virginia or Pennsylvania or New York or Massachusetts. I did live in all those places. She was born in one of those places. She's just pretending to be a Texan because, you know, you don't do that here. If you call yourself a native Texan, you better have the boots to back it up. And if somebody started saying that about me and somebody started, and I'm just going through it on my side so you can go through it on your side, like, what would you do if somebody started posting things that said you're not who you say you are? Would you feel the need to respond? Or would you just let it go? I can't even imagine what that would be like. But it is kind of a position we all put ourselves in when we are posting about ourselves online. So I want to play this clip now about what Hilaria said about being insecure.
There's been some questions about where I'm born. I'm born in Boston. And then I spent some of my childhood in Boston, some of my childhood in Spain. My family, my brother, my parents, my nephew, everybody is over there in Spain. Now I'm here. And so there was like a lot of back and forth my entire life. And I'm really lucky that I grew up speaking two languages. And I'm trying to raise my kids so that they speak two languages too. And that's something that's very important for me, especially having my family abroad. So that was one thing. I think people ask sometimes about how I speak. I am that person that if I've been speaking a lot of Spanish, I, you know, tend to mix them. And if I'm speaking more English, or doing a lot of English, then I mix that. It's one of those things that's always been I've been a little insecure about over different times. And, you know, when I try to work, I try to enunciate a little bit more. But if I get nervous or upset or something, then I start to mix the two. And again, that's just something that I've always been a little bit insecure about, but I've decided maybe 2021, we will get over that. And I'm definitely addressing it very openly right now.
So you can see here that she goes on Instagram and she's just being honest. And I think that's a great thing to do. And I have to say, I get this whole thing about, well, you're now in your mid-30s and you're looking back and maybe you represented yourself one way at some part of your life. You represented yourself another way at some part of your life. And again, we're coming at this through faith, which I'm getting to. I can see where somebody would do that. My own children, my husband was born in Cuba. So my own children have mixed names. One of my daughters has a Spanish first name and an Anglican second name. And I can't even say the Spanish name right because I have a Texas accent and my husband has a Spanish accent when he wants to. He doesn't always, just like Claudia. So I get that. When you can have different accents and it's not fake. It's just how it is. My kids live in Texas now. They still have a New York accent when they want to, or they still talk about things being wicked when they want to invoke their Boston accent. So I get that. I get the name change. Some of my kids, we call them one name at home. They go by a different name at school because we call them their middle name at home and they go by their first name at school. It just happened. We didn't plan it that way. I don't think any of that's fake. I think she's being truthful about that. And I think she's being truthful about being insecure about, you know, how you present yourself when you're online. But to back up from all of this and think about it, because I, you know, we all take a breath here and think about what it even is we're doing on the internet. I've learned a very useful trick when I'm going to be honest. Even as I'm talking about it to you right now, I'm like, I don't even know why this was a news story. I don't even know why the New York Times had like a 5,000 word long article about it. But I'm going to tell you what I think. And by the way, if you want to tell me what you think, the number to call in is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I'm Stacey Trusenko's filling in for Timmery, and I would love to hear from you. But here's what I think. I have learned when I'm trying to analyze people, because I'm a chemist and I do that, I analyze things, and I have to analyze things as a mother. When I'm trying to figure out why somebody's doing something, I ask, what problem is this person trying to solve? Okay? What's the motivation? And that does jive with what we know about body and soul, rational soul, made in the image and likeness of God, with intellect and free will. Our spiritual powers, we're not just collections of atoms and molecules, but we're made, being made in the image and likeness of God. And I've told you before, this was a huge revelation for me coming from scientism. It's not what I called it, but it's what it was. Coming from scientism and getting my head around the spiritual reality of our existence. Understanding the Holy Trinity and what it means to be made in the image and likeness of God, made with intellect and free will, just like God the Father generates the Son as an act of the intellect, and God the Father and God the Son together as one substance spirate forth as an act of love and free will, the Holy Spirit. We have these same spiritual powers, just not perfectly. And we also, the Father gives all of himself to the Son except to be the Son, the Father and the Son together as one substance. The Holy Trinity, the three persons, are one God. They are eternally one. And so it's communion. It's a family. It's the perfection of what it means to be in a community. And that's why this was huge for me. That's why we all have this innate. You cannot deny it. You can deny God if you choose to. You won't be making any sense. But you can't deny the innate desire in all of us, because we're made in God's image, to want to be known and to know. We want to know others and we want others to know us. We want to love others and we want to be loved. And so when you have all of this and you understand that, like I like to say, we're all just kind of running through life with our arms outstretched saying, somebody love me. And if you do feel an insecurity, and I'm not saying she doesn't feel loved, I'm saying we all have insecurities because we're not perfect. If you have these insecurities, I think that's why a lot of people find that they have an identity on the internet, because you can kind of control what other people see and you can control what other people know. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but it's just a fact. On the other end of things, if you have this too perfect image of yourself, it's probably going to make other people feel even more insecure or more unloved or more unworthy because they're looking at you saying, oh, that is a person that's so loved and known. I want that too. And I think sometimes, and I'm not speaking for the Twitter person at all. I'm just analyzing people. I think sometimes you can want to set the other person straight. And so when you get in this, when you get this way and you let it take over you, it's called contention. And vainglory is a daughter of contention, so says St. Thomas Aquinas. When you get into this contention where you're tending against another person and you're saying something out loud that is against another person, and you're doing it in a not very kind way. So it's okay to call out somebody who's speaking falsity, but you need to still think about how you do it. If you're trying to correct somebody who you think is lying and you do it in a contentious way, it can be a venial sin. And who causes what, I don't know. But I think we all need to be aware of that in our own lives because this whole thing blew up. Somebody said it just blew up because we're all so tired of being at home. It's kind of like women used to watch soap operas. Now we scroll through Instagram and Twitter and Facebook just looking for drama because we need something to happen. And this did blow up as drama because Hilaria responded to it and she set the record straight. And I do like what she said. She said, I'm just living my life. I'm trying to be who I am and I haven't, this is me now. That was me then. And I think it's okay to be honest about that. But the moral of the story here, and I'll wrap this up. The moral of the story here is try to be authentic when you're posting things online. It doesn't matter if you are posting your best self. Heck, I don't think it's even bad to say I'm doing that sometimes. Of course, I'm not telling you all the bad stuff because this is what I choose to put out in public. But also be thinking about how it affects other people. And if you feel the need, I have never felt this way, but if you, I'm joking. If you feel the need to call somebody else out because you don't think they're being honest, check yourself and make sure if you're being contentious, it's for a good reason and that it's definitely not vainglory. I'm Stacey Trisenkos filling in for Trending with Timory, and we'll be back after the break.
Sponsorship provided by Catholic Singles, an online dating platform for single Catholics looking for a virtuous, faithful, and God-filled relationship. Catholic Singles Dating App is where members can nurture relationships with other faithful Catholics. The Catholic Singles App.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is Stacey Trisenkos in for Timory while she is out enjoying her beautiful new baby. Starting off the new year, 2021, correctly. I saw the funniest meme the other day. It had 2020. It was a 2 in a roll of toilet paper and another 2 in a roll of toilet paper. And it said, how could 2021 get any worse? And the graphic for 2021 had a 2 and a roll of toilet paper and a 2 and just the empty cardboard tube from a roll of toilet paper for the 1. And I thought that was hilarious. So here we are in 2021 getting started. I'm not worried about what's going to happen this year. I mean, every year is different. Every year brings new surprises, new challenges. We just learn to live with it. We learn to go with the flow, and that's not to minimize that there will be suffering. If you haven't suffered a lot yet in life, be thankful. Be also prayerful because you don't know what's coming. And, you know, it's true that we all suffer at some point before we die. So just say to 2021, bring it. You know, like whatever you've got, I'm going to practice prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. I'm going to kneel before the Holy Eucharist as often as I can. And I'm going to try, like everything, to unite my heart with God and see the world through Christ's eyes and see other people the way God sees them. That's really hard sometimes. I'm telling you because that's a prayer I pray every day. God, give me the grace to do your will and not punch somebody in the face, because I get pretty upset sometimes about things. But practice those virtues. There was a topic on Instagram. I noticed it was kind of fun. It was one of those times when I woke up in the morning and I said, seize the day. I'm gonna jump out of bed and get all these things done. And 30 minutes later, I'm still scrolling through Instagram, long forgotten the gusto I woke up with. And I noticed there's this 20-year transformation. And there are, of course, there were a lot of celebrities. Meghan Markle, for one. I think you can, you know, she's the one that married Prince Harry. She changed a lot in the last 20 years. She's become royalty now. And just to look at the two pictures, it's always amazing. She looked like any teenager, and now she's this dressed in all these royal clothing and stuff. But she had a big 20-year transformation. The other one that caught my eye was Justin Bieber. Don't laugh. Because I remember him as a little bitty kid. But now he's grown up 20 years later, had pictures of him side by side. I think he still looks like a little kid. And then Ariana Grande, best known as the quirky cat on Nickelodeon's Victorious. Watch that with kids. And now she's very different. She's the most streamed female artist of the decade on Spotify and won her first Grammy in 2019. So it's interesting to see pictures side by side. And I think it makes all of us think, what would our 20-year transformation look like? There were obviously other pictures of 20-year transformations where there had been reconstructive surgery of various parts of the body, weight loss, totally different hair, totally different redesigning yourself. I don't think a picture of me 20 years ago would look all that different than I do now. Same hairdo, pretty much. But it's another one of those times to think about, wow, two decades go by. Because I do remember 20 years ago, you know, that was when the new millennium was coming. I worked for DuPont as a senior research chemist, and I remember that year coming. You know, here we are getting ready for 2021 ahead of us, wondering what's coming. Well, back then, in 1999, yes, we played that song a lot. In 1999, we were looking forward to 2000, and everybody didn't know what was going to happen to all the computers when the time changed, when the year changed from 1999, because that's 19-something had always been what computers knew. They didn't know what was going to happen. I worked for DuPont at the Lycra spandex. Yes, spandex. It's a polymer. It's an elastomeric polymer, and I worked on the design of it to make it very stretchy. But I worked at the plant where that was made, where 2,000 people worked. And so there were a lot of precautions about how they were going to take down the plant. They shut the plant down and then started it back up 24 hours later because they just wanted it to be shut down when the clocks changed, because nobody knew what was going to happen. Shutting it down was better than possibly blowing it up. So I remember that. And just looking back through all the things that was going on then, we were very scared. It was like, we have never lived in any kind of 2000 anything. And we didn't know what that was going to be. It sounded ominous. Well, here we are 20 years later, living it, going through things we never thought we would go through. And now we're dealing with our own problems. So, you know, not to be cliche or anything, but do think about what you've done in the last 20 years. Not just, I mean, we've all accomplished things. It doesn't matter what your accomplishments are compared to somebody else's in your life, in your journey, especially if you're practicing. The greatest accomplishment of all is practicing virtue and growing closer to Christ and becoming more fully human. What have you accomplished? Like, not things that you necessarily could put on Instagram as pictures. But if you looked at two pictures of yourself 20 years ago and now, and you looked into your soul through your eyes, I know you don't really do that, but I'm trying to be poetic. If you looked into your soul through your eyes, you could, what would you see there? Who were you 20 years ago? And what have you learned about prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance since then? I bet you, if you thought about it and you went to the Summa and looked under part 2-2 on the treatises on the virtues and read some of that, which I highly recommend, go to Aquinas.cc. It's all of Aquinas's works are there, and you can navigate through it. You can see all the titles of all the parts. And especially with the virtues, you're looking through there, you're like, ooh, I'm seeing some things that I recognize. Go through there and look at the list of virtues and vices, the opposite of virtue. And I bet you, if you thought about yourself 20 years ago that way, you would be pretty happy with yourself. Because if you've been going to Mass regularly and participating in the sacraments and praying as often and regularly as you can, always trying, you will have grown in virtue. And that's something to be more proud of than pictures you can put on Instagram. I do, again, that website, I love this. So this is a tool. You're welcome. On it's called Aquinas.cc. A colleague told me about it a few years ago. Like, I have the whole Summa in leather-bound English and Latin print because I like to show off when people come to my office and they go, ooh, you have the whole Summa. And I'm like, yes, I haven't read it all either, but I'm trying. My husband bought it for me for a birthday present. It's very beautiful. I use it a lot for props when doing Zoom so people will see it back there behind me. But I didn't have that 20 years ago. But it's hard to read those books. I don't, if we're doing things online now, go to Aquinas.cc. And if you want to know, there's several treatises in the Summa, but go to the 2-2. So it's Summa Theologia 2-2. And look through there. That's the treatise on the virtues. Questions 1 through a bunch, 91. It goes on from there. Yeah, down through 91. And look through the list. Schism, war, strife, sedition, scandal. And then it gets to charity. And they're back up under, I'm just reading some off. Presumption and despair are two that I really enjoyed reading. Joy, peace, mercy, beneficence, almsgiving. St. Thomas goes into all of these virtues and vices with a razor sharp intellect and precision. I promise you, you've never read anywhere else. It's all tied to scripture, referencing other philosophers and theologians before him where appropriate in his style of objecting and laying down the law and then explaining himself. And it is very, very useful. Just like we were talking about before in the last segment with talking about contention and vainglory, he explains what that is. And when contention is a sin, a mortal sin, a venial sin, when it's not a sin, goes through all of that. I find it very useful in mapping out your life. Why am I telling you all that with the 20-year transformation? Because as you go forward into the next 20 years, when we get to 2040, that's a scary thought. When we get to 2040, make it a goal over your time to grow in virtue. That's what it means. But to grow in virtue, you got to know what it is. So go to Aquinas.cc and read through some of the virtues. You're very welcome for that tip for the day.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hello and welcome back. This is Stacey Trisankos filling in for Timory on Trending with Timory. Timory is out on maternity leave, enjoying her little bundle of joy. And so you've got me to listen to today, and I'm very, very honored, I just want to say, to be here and to be trusted with this show. I think that's the right word, to be trusted with the show. Because I know everyone at Relevant Radio, and Timory especially, cares very much about the audience. And I try very hard not to waste your time, but I appreciate your listening. I just want to repeat that website. So it is really awesome. I keep it bookmarked, and I go to it all the time. Just so many life lessons from reading Aquinas. The website is aquinas.cc. Real simple, real short URL. It's aquinas.cc. Two C's as in cat. Cool cat. .cc. It's not, it's a different, but if you just type that in, you'll see it. It comes up, and you can just navigate through the table of contents, so to speak, is on the left. And then it's also got Latin and English side by side. So if you want to practice your Latin, you can do that too while you're reading about mercy, almsgiving, envy, discord, and contention. So enjoy that website. It is a really cool website. Also, the number, if you want to call in, I'm going to talk now about an always trending topic, taking kids to Mass and living to tell about it. The number here is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I would love to hear your tips and advice on how to do this thing of taking kids to Mass. I got the idea from an article in the National Catholic Register written by a young mom, Emma Follett, F-O-L-L-E-T-T, yesterday. And she's a young mother of a growing family, and she knows Mass is both a haven and a challenge. She's got a one-year-old. She hopes that one-year-old will sleep through the majority of the liturgy, but we all know just as soon as those little eyes close, something happens and they wake up. And I want y'all to know it is just normal, but she has some good advice. Let me go through that. Sit up front, she says. So that might seem contrary to every reasonable thing in the world to sit up front where you're the star of the show with your kids who might at any moment, the anxiety is real. At any minute, those kids could start crying and throwing a fit just when it's the worst minute. And even though you know it's not a reflection of your parenting skills, when your kid starts squiggling out of your arms and making loud noises at all the wrong times, you feel like the worst mother in the whole world. I do get that. Sit up front, though. And why sit up front? I mean, I've heard this advice a lot of times, and it really is one of the best things you can do. So your kids can watch what's going on. It will keep them more engaged, okay? Because think like a little kid. You're sitting at the back looking at people's heads. You can barely see over the pew in front of you. What is all of this about? If you're up front, you can see what's going on, and it really does keep their attention longer. I'd love to hear your advice too, or you can send it to me on Facebook, Stacey Trisankos, or Twitter, Stacey Trisankos, or Instagram, Stacey Trisankos. I don't get very creative with the names. The second one is whisper answers back to little people's questions. So you do sometimes have to just give them some answers. If they ask a question, you want to give them an answer. And, you know, I had a son one time. A lot of people have this. It was funny, though. My son was horrified and just felt so indignant that they wouldn't share the Eucharist with him. And he was like walking away in my arms, reaching out for the Eucharist. And he was going, share, share. He's like, he thought it was awful that people wouldn't give him some. And you have to get back. Go ahead and take a little time to explain. That's Jesus. You need to be a little older. Yes, look forward to it. It's great. We're going to get there. They'll probably still cry, but try to explain. Promote participation. That's the third thing. When Mass is not going on, take them around with the permission of your priest and explain what some of those things are. Start to teach them some of the words and satisfy that natural curiosity kids have. Prepare as much as possible. There's really no amount of preparation for getting through Mass, because I used to haul in all those things, coloring books, toys, tin pacifiers, bottles, books, good books, you know, books about the Mass. You never know. But do try to prepare. Be reasonable. Take some things. Get up the night before. Lay out the clothes. Pack the diaper bag. If you can prepare. If you can't prepare, then it's not possible. So you prepare it as much as possible. Don't worry about it. But try not to be hustling too much when you get out the door. She says also, number 5, treat the back of the church or cry room as undesirable. Now, why? It goes with number 1, right? You don't want to get in the habit of telling the kids you're going to go hide out at Mass. And I totally get it. There may be 6 months of your life where that's exactly what you do. But don't try to not let yourself get into that habit. Try to tell yourself, it's okay. The kids need to come to Jesus. The kids need to be out there in the Mass with the other people. Try it. If it doesn't work, you can just run back to that cry room if that's where you feel comfortable. But try. Just keep trying, okay? The last one is celebrate Sundays. So the author recommends bringing Mass bags with special toys that they don't get the rest of the week. Something to look forward to, dress them up, try anyway, again, keep a sense of humor, because, you know, those best efforts might get foiled often, but try, make it special. And these are all very, very good. And she also has some, suggestions for virtual Mass that some of the country, unfortunately, is still going through. And down here in Texas, we can go, but we spread out and wear masks and social distance and use hand sanitizer and all of that. But I do see a lot of kids, and it is such a blessing. But the bottom line is, just like I said, the secret to my marriage is showing up for coffee every morning. My husband and I agree to do that. My husband also told me, as I'm a convert, I grabbed him by the shirt one day. I'm like, I want to know what's true. I'm tired of these atoms and molecules because they're not solving my biggest problems in this life. And he said, I'll take you to the Catholic Church. And the rest is history. But he also told me when I converted, because he went with me to all the RCIA classes, and he said, Stacy, we're going to go as a family to Mass. And I know that sometimes you need to split up and the mom goes or the dad goes, or you don't take the little bitty kids. But we always made it a rule to go as a family and sit together as a family. And there were years where I cried because I grew up Baptist and everybody put their kids in the nursery for church and didn't worry about it. And Catholic Church doesn't have a nursery. You're supposed to take the kids in with you so everybody can see how terrible of a parent you are. But try, just keep trying, okay? I'm telling you, don't give up, because my kids are older now. And you know what? That is the one time in the whole week when our family is all together. Even at dinner now, sometimes not everybody's there, but we're still almost always there together at Mass. And it's a real blessing, because it is the core of our family. We have a caller, Pedro, calling from Quebec, has a comment about kids go to the church. What, Pedro, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Do you hear me well?
Yes, sir. I sure do.
Good. Well, the thing is, in my opinion, all us that practice, we need to get used to hear kids' noises during the Mass, because it's normal, because they're kids. I don't have kids. I've been in an old marriage, and I never stopped going to church. And honestly, I love going to the Mass when I hear little kids doing noises, because it shows me the church is alive, and that, well, our future priests and nuns and couples will come from them. So I think that's something that we need to get used and even to cheer. So, sorry. Every time I see a family with a kid and I see a kid make a noise, I try to reinforce them positively with a smile to say, that's okay, don't worry. I'm happy your kid's around.
Aw, that, Pedro, thank you so much. I hope everybody out there heard that. I wish every Catholic in the world could hear what you just said, because that is so, I mean, thank you so much for that comment. And thank you for saying that. And we don't often hear it hear from someone else who's looking at what's going on. And I agree with you so much now that my kids are getting older. When I hear the babies in Mass, I do, just like you. I want to turn around. I'm afraid I'll be creepy if I do it because I'm just like smiling too much or something. But I want to turn around and smile at the parents who have the babies because thank you for being there with them. And I have gone out of my way sometimes to tell moms, thank you for being here with your children. Just thank you for bringing them here. It's such a joy to see them. Thank you, Pedro, for saying that. Thank you for sharing that with us. Try to remember that, guys, because it is hard. I don't ever want to deny that it's hard getting the kids there, but I do see that it's one of the most peaceful times of our family. It's almost like a reset button on our family. And there was one day when our daughter was cantering. Our son was, we had five still at home. Two were grown, five at home. Our son was altar serving, and our other three daughters were doing something called altar maiden. So the girls aren't altar servers. They had on a different kind of dress and a veils, and they were serving, but they weren't at the altar. They were doing other things like taking the collection and ushering people and stuff like that. So they were all our kids. We went from chaos with five kids where I would kneel and pray and I'd have one hand up like I'm praying, but my other hand would be holding an ankle of a toddler who's trying to get away from me under the pew and steal the lipstick out of the lady's purse in front of us. And I'd be like trying to hold that toddler and not shake because I didn't want people to know what I was doing because I'm trying to hold my kid. Or the times when I had to wiggle in between two girls who were slap fighting during the consecration, all those kind of things, it does pass. And I know I'm starting to sound like an old lady now, but it passes because there was that day when all of our kids were busy in the church. And I just looked at my husband and I'm like, we're here alone now. It's just you and me, honey. It's just you and me, and our kids are all busy doing things. And, you know, when I went up it was my son's first time to altar serve, and I knelt to receive on the tongue, and he was standing there with the little plate underneath me. And I was actually looking up to him from kneeling and seeing him serve. It was such a blessing, because in that moment I saw that little boy saying, share Jesus with me. And here he is now serving and giving back. So hang in there, parents. Hang in there, because the Pedros of the world, and there are many of them, they're watching you. They see what's going on. And if somebody has a scowl or somebody has they're irritated by your kids, if you're doing the best you can, don't worry about it. You're practicing prudence every step, prudence and justice and fortitude and temperance and all those things every minute, just trying to get through. And I know parents are very aware of how their kids might be affecting other people. If someone's having a bad day and gives you a bad look, just let it go. I'm serious, because there's nothing you can do about it. And that person may be dealing with things you don't even know about. So that's kind of how we all are out there, going back to Hilaria and people not understanding, you know, the people, how people represent themselves on the internet and being contentious and thinking about our 20-year transformation over time. There's a purpose to all of this, and we're living in this moment when we have 2021 and COVID-19 and the internet like never before. People didn't used to live online all the time. And we still have Mass that we can go to, take our kids to, and have them grow up in the church. So try to take all of that in. We have one more caller. I think we have time. Carlo in Illinois.
Hello?
Hello, Carlo. Go ahead.
Stacey, hi. Thanks for the topic. Very great. I always thought that when I saw kids kind of wriggling at a midway point in Mass, that maybe it was an energy issue that kids don't sit still for very long. So I always thought maybe during the offertory just to grab a walk, take them around, and then bring them back again to the pew might be a way to help them to just settle down, you know, because they naturally have energy.
Yeah, you give them a minute to let it out, and then they'll be okay to get through the rest. That's a great tip. Take them out during the offertory, let them run around, bring them back in. That is a great tip, Carlo. I was just, when you were saying that, I was thinking, I did the same thing even with an older child once. I had to take an older child. He was like nine, the same son I've been talking about. He's sitting there slapping his hands on his legs, bumping his feet. And I'm like, what is going on with you? He's like, I can't sit still. I can't sit still. I'm like, come on. And we went outside. I don't remember exactly what part it was, but I'm like, you go out. And I made him run in circles before we went back in so he could get out. It's a great suggestion, Carlo. Thank you very much. Well, I am Stacy Trusankos in for Timory. I will see you in a couple of days. Thanks, everyone, for listening in.